Welcome back to Sound Medicine. I'm Barbara Lewis. So whether you're an auctioneer or a singer, I don't know, a radio show host, your voice is more than just a tool for ordering pizza. But a lot of us take our vocal cords for granted, at least until they stop working. And that's when we turn to people like laryngologist Dr. James Thomas. Dr. Thomas specializes in voice issues. Welcome to Sound Medicine.
Hello.
Could you give us a quick explanation of the structures we use to speak and to sing?
I like to think of breaking it down into two parts, and it's all involved in the upper part of our airway. The throat part, or the part near the Adam's apple, is where the vocal cords are, and that's how we make sound. And then above that, the mouth, we modify that and change things into words and sentences and phrases, and that's where we get speech. So voice is the sound. It's the part that's in the neck where the Adam's apple is, and speech is everything above that. And then to make that sound, the vocal cords are two muscles that can be opened for breathing, or they can be closed together, and we blow air from our lungs through them, and they vibrate. And then depending on how tight we make them, that changes the pitch of our voice.
What are the most common and perhaps surprising ways that people injure their voice?
I like to think of three categories. One is overuse, people who talk too much. Underuse, people who don't talk enough. And people who talk incorrectly. So these are three common problems. People who talk too much, the people who don't shut up, who talk all the time. The vocal cords rub together, and just like on your hands, you can get calluses and blisters from digging in the garden. If you talk too much, you can get calluses and blisters of the vocal cords, and we would call them polyps or nodules. So that's overuse injuries. People who don't talk enough, people who are real quiet, don't use their voice a lot. When they do have to use it, those muscles aren't in very good shape, and they sometimes suffer from a soft voice or discomfort or pain because the vocal cords aren't in good, healthy shape. And the third category there is people who don't use it properly. Sometimes we tighten too much or not enough, and we can get some funny sounds out of our throat if we're not using our vocal cords correctly.
So I have heard that clearing your throat can also cause problems. Is that true?
I may be in the minority, but I don't think it actually does. Clearing the throat can be a sign of two things. One, that the secretions are a little bit thick. And the other thing, that if you have any kind of, even a small bump, tiny nodule, or some problem with the vocal cords vibrating, your mucus, which is there to lubricate the vocal cords and help them vibrate, will tend to accumulate on the part that's not vibrating well. So people with problems will tend to clear their throat more. That is, people with really sticky secretions, or people who have some sort of problem in there will tend to clear it more. But I don't think the clearing actually does a lot of damage.
I don't know what category, you know, if we go to a concert and we're talking, trying to talk over the music, or we're at a child sporting game and we're screaming and cheering them on. Is that overuse or incorrect use, for starters?
I would think of that as overuse, and I'll differentiate that a little bit between people who chronically overuse their voice, people who can't shut up, love to talk. They tend to get more calluses, and that is thickenings on the vocal cord that are kind of hard, the skin hypertrophies, and that's what a callus is. And people who acutely overuse their voice, football game on a Friday night yelling, or, as you said, a lot of background noise, so you're actually speaking quite loudly, you can get acute injuries, and those tend to be ruptures of the little blood vessels that are on the vocal cords, and it'll make a little blister with blood in it, and sometimes that'll hang around and become a polyp or a fluid-filled sac. So people who have a sudden change in their voice after sudden overuse, they're most likely to have just plain swelling. So if you overuse your voice one night and it's husky for a day or two, or you lose it for a day and then it gets better and comes back within 2 or 3 days, that's probably just swelling. If you suddenly lose it when you're really overusing it, you're at some risk for having broken a blood vessel and created swelling, and that would tend to last longer.
So what should you do if you cheered on your favorite sport team or your kids' team a little too much?
Well, let's say you lost your voice. I often hear people say on a Friday night they did that, Saturday they lost their voice, and by Monday their voice was getting better. So when you do overuse it and you don't know what's in there, you don't have a camera to look inside, but if you rest it and it gets better in a day or two, it probably was just swelling. And then if it doesn't get better in a week to 2 weeks, then it was probably something more serious, a polyp or a broken blood vessel or something like that.
So what are the most important things people can do to keep their voice healthy? Let's say we're not severe underusers or severe overusers.
Well, I think the voice does pretty good as it is. If you're not in either of those categories, then you're probably not going to suffer from any problems, and just the normal day-to-day drinking of fluids and using your voice a moderate amount is great for it. The three categories I talked to you about of overuse, underuse, and using it inappropriately are what I would call internal or intrinsic ways of damaging your voice. There are also external ways of injuring the voice. People who use inhalers can get, say, fungus infections. People who smoke cigarettes can get growths or cancers on it. So more than overusing or underusing, not exposing your voice to unusual chemicals at work, tobacco smoke, or any unnecessary medications, that can keep the vocal cords healthy.
Yeah. Are you a fan of vocal exercises?
You know, if you're going to be a voice user, it's good to keep the vocal cords in shape for when you need them. So they probably do play a role there.
Mm-hmm. So like teachers and public speakers or singers, auctioneers, do they need to take special steps to protect their voices?
I'll give you an example, and that would be often in September, I will have a teacher come in around the 1st of October and saying, boy, my throat hurts a lot, aches. And what I'll typically find out is they're a person who doesn't talk much. So when summer comes around, they don't use their voice for 3 months, and they get back into school, and the muscles are too weak to do what they need to do, and it takes a month to get going. So they would benefit from vocal exercises. Now, a chatty person who's a teacher has no trouble when the beginning of the school year comes around because they're talking all the time and the voice is in shape. So I think it depends on how much you use your voice intrinsically.
Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Thomas, it sounds like our vocal system, if you will, is a pretty hardy thing. It takes quite a bit to injure that. Is that true?
I think it's pretty hardy. Although when I walk down the street, I can hear somebody who has vocal nodules or vocal calluses.
Whoa! You have to tell me how you can tell that.
Well, when you get a swelling on your vocal cord, it does two things. When you get a swelling, it increases the mass. And like on an instrument, a guitar, the bigger the string, the lower the pitch. So a person who talks too much and has some nodules, they will tend to have a deeper voice than you expect. And the second thing is when you get a swelling, the vocal cords can't close together, and you'll leak air, so you'll have a little huskiness. So if I'm walking down the street, and I hear someone who has a little huskiness, and their voice sounds deeper than it should, that tells me there's some sort of swelling on their cords. And if they're talking nonstop, I have the idea that they're probably a vocal overuser.
So that's one way to diagnose. I mean, you can diagnose just walking down the street, but how do you, in your office, diagnose and treat common vocal problems?
So as a laryngologist, that is an ear, nose, and throat specialist who really focuses on the vocal cords, I do two things. One, I listen to the voice just like that, and I document how high and how low you can go in terms of pitch, and I know what's normal. I listen to how long you can make a sound. So I do some measurements with my ear on the sound you can produce. And then I have two different types of cameras. One goes through the mouth, or one goes through the nose, and your nose passage and mouth passage all connect in the back. And so a camera put in either way through the nose or mouth can then view the vocal cords. And the cameras are quite good. They're now high-definition video cameras that are quite small and can go in either of those passages, and the vocal cords then can be shown on a big high-definition video screen, and you can look at the structure. And then there's another piece of equipment that a typical laryngologist would have, and that's a strobe light. So then when you make a sound, like I'm talking to you here now, my vocal cords are vibrating 100 times a second. But with a strobe light on them, we can slow it down and watch the vibrations in slow motion. So to diagnose it, I would listen, and then I would look both while the person's just breathing and while they're making sound with a strobe light, And that's how I would diagnose the problem.
So it sounds like technology has really been an otolaryngologist's good friend.
Well, it has. There were actually strobe lights invented in the 1890s, but they were pretty cumbersome. So I would say the last 20 years of miniaturizing and creating high-definition cameras that can slip into openings has upgraded that technical ability, even though it's been around a long time.
Okay. Well, Dr. James Thomas, thank you so much for talking with me on Sound Medicine. It's been a pleasure. I'll pay attention to how much I talk.
All right.
Now I do that from now on. Thank you.
Happy to chat with you.
Dr. James Thomas is a throat specialist in Portland, Oregon. He suggested a number of websites that have tips for protecting your voice. They're all at soundmedicine.org. I love the yodel, hi-yup-li-yedi-dee.